to receive the Lord's Supper tonight. And the Lord's Supper is something that here in Bible College, this is one of the two ordinances of the church, and it's very important, so important that almost every pastoral class, if you find that you're in the class, you're going to cover baptism and the Lord's Supper in almost every class. And sometimes it seems redundant, but the Lord gave two ordinances to his church, and he didn't want us to ever forget it. Even the one we do tonight is to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and for us until he comes. And so as we see in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, I want you to turn there with me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he answers some questions to the Corinthian church, and there's two books written to them, and just like any church, there was some sin, and so with sin comes problems. There's things that as we try to work through the problems of this life, a lot of times sin separates us from a holy God. And so tonight, as we see, he deals within the book here, and even in the area of what we consider the Lord's Supper, they had error. They had some trouble, and they were doing this on a repeated basis all the time, and they had kind of turned it into dinner on the grounds rather than a holy remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were even using it. And in our school, we have uniforms, because if we didn't have uniforms, we would one kid would try to have the most expensive pair of tennis shoes they could have and then make fun of another kid. Or they would have the most expensive pair of pants and whatever's the most vogue thing. And then they would be jostling back and forth, and there would be divisions among the children every day. And again, sometimes that people think we have uniforms because we always want the kids to look appropriate and the skirts to be long enough and that. But listen, I'm going to tell you, even our staff and faculty know that they still have to watch and guard for those things, because people still want to wear something that's a little too short when they come in and things of that nature. A uniform doesn't govern that. It's just a uniform. It lets us all kind of look the same and be uniform. And in the Lord's church, when we come together in the Lord's Supper, he wants us to be uniform. He wants us to be of one heart, one mind, unified in doctrine, in belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point where he wants us not to take the Lord's Supper one before the other, but he wants us to, again, one of the things that I learned that I thought was so great and powerful about our church and different from my home churches, the way they practice the Lord's Supper, is that the pastor even comes down, our pastor would always sit down on the main floor, because again, there's not one person above the other in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's church is all on the same plane, remembering the Lord's church all at the same time, and all tarrying for one another and consuming the body at the same time and drinking, again, the what we consider grape juice, but taking that at the same time, because we want to do it in unity. And we all want to, again, we want to see that each one of us, everybody, I don't know about you, but sometimes we have offices of the church, but the foot of the cross is level, folks. Everybody came the same way. Everybody came in the same way, and we all should remember the same way and on the same plane. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's some things when we say that this is an ordinance of the church, there's some things that we're saying with that sometimes are may seem like it's simple, or maybe you have this, but for other people, they may need help. To be able to be a part of the Lord's church, you have to be born again. You have to be saved and have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to be regenerated. The church's membership is a born again body of believers, all right? And it's baptized believers. That means in the right, not just baptized, but baptized in the right mode. So if you're here tonight and you're with us and you want the pastor here is giving counsel. This right now is counsel to you, that when we get to the place and it talks about you taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, all right, one of those things, if you're not saved tonight, the Lord's Supper is not for you. If you're here tonight and you're saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, that means by immersion into a church of this doctrine and faith, then you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper tonight. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm trying to protect you from something that'll hurt you. The Lord has some things he's going to say to us in the scripture, and I'm not trying to be hurtful. I just want you to see in context some things that goes on. Typically, we would start in verse 20, but I want you to start in verse 18 and see why he begins some of these. The issue that he's dealing with is the Lord's Supper, but he hears some things that are among them. And verse 18 says, "First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." I don't know about you, and I don't have time to expound on this, but when you come into, you know, sometimes you hear people say something, sometimes it's only a half truth. But Paul, writing under the inspiration of God here, says that I hear that there's division among you, and I partly believe it. In a church our size, without a doubt, tonight as we look and inside of our heart and try to see if there's anything between us and God, a lot of times the things that are between us and God are something that's between us and our brother in Christ. There are divisions among us sometimes, something that we are harboring or holding on to, and that's not something we should carry in or take lightly when we're about to take the Lord's Supper. He goes beyond that. He says in verse 19, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." So again, how can there's not just division of problems in the church, but sometimes in a body of believers like this, there are people that have crept in unawares, the Bible says, and they believe, again, according to the scripture, not my own words, but the scripture uses the terminology damnable heresies. That means that they're adding to salvation. It's salvation plus works. It could be a lot of different things that we could talk about. But again, if you're one here tonight and you come and you attend and you enjoy the preaching and you're a part of our church here on a regular basis, but you have something that you believe fundamentally different than we do on salvation, then you should not take the Lord's Supper tonight. Okay? I'm trying to help you because I love you, not because I'm trying to run you off or make you mad tonight. I just want you to look at verse 20. As he comes through, we're going to read a lot of the scripture tonight. Now he says, "When we come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." There are several people that believe that every time you come together, and there are churches that practice that. But the scripture says plainly that when we come together, every time we come together, it is not for us to take the Lord's Supper. We meet on Sundays because it's a resurrection Sunday every Sunday. We preach the gospel and we work the great commission of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. But not every time we come together should we take the Lord's Supper. He goes in and talks about some of the things I mentioned before, so we'll read it fast in verse 21. "For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which was also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Look at verse 25. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, he says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, we don't have time tonight for me to preach an entire message, but again, baptism pictures the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The picture of the Lord's Supper is a remembrance of what Christ did on Calvary. It pictures two things. Look at the verse with me. "For as oft as ye eat it," in verse 26, "this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That means the Lord's church sits down. And two things we remember, the body that was broken and the blood that was shed to pay for our sins. And we sit here in anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. In the baptismal pool, we go down and we leave the dead man there and we come up a brand new man, as we preached about this morning. And it's a great picture of what the Lord has done for us. But the Lord's Supper pictures something totally different. We come in remembrance of what he's done, looking for what he will do. and that is come back for his church. When we sit here tonight and we take the Lord's Supper, it is us, and if I could say it this way, church, it's us trying to get as right as we can, because tonight could be the night that Jesus comes back for his church. And we try to get all the accounts settled, if we could. Anything that's between us and our God, and get as right as we can be. Get it all called up. You say, well, all my sins paid for, yes. But you know as well as I do, sometimes there's things that we've done in our life, sin that breaks our fellowship with the holy God. And tonight is about getting back in tune and fellowship with God. This remembrance that we'll take tonight is us being in tune with him. And try to, again, I heard it this week from Brother Westmoreland, but again, if I could just remind you that the old radios, you know, we don't know nothing about it today because you just push the digital radio on your clock. But it used to be, you have to hone that thing in. You had to work that knob to get it just and get all the static out. And sometimes, even in the Christian life, because we may not think it's a big thing, but tonight, when we really evaluate ourselves and we take a moment to do that, if the Holy Spirit of God recalls something that's static in your life, you ought to get it out of your life. You ought to put it aside so that you can get it tuned in, crisp and clear, and be on the same page with the Lord Jesus Christ. The body, when we talk about unity, the body's getting in tune with itself, one with another, and also getting in tune with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's important that a man examine himself according to the scripture. It's important. Again, the preacher is not going to withhold anything. The men that come down will openly give you opportunity to take of the elements that we pass out of the Lord's Supper tonight. That piece of bread, that piece of unleavened bread that represents the body, and that pure grape juice that doesn't have any alcohol in it, that pictures the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we pass those things out, no one will restrict you from taking those elements, but a man and the woman that's in the building tonight should examine themselves. And again, not whether I'm judging or someone else, but you need to judge whether you're worthy of that tonight. You need to judge whether you're a part of the church and whether you're worthy to take it tonight. You need to judge whether you're worthy because of what's between you and a holy God, or what may be between you and your sister or brother in Christ that would keep you from taking that tonight. And only the person that sits in the seat that will consume it can judge for themselves whether they're worthy tonight. You say, well, listen, and I'm not talking about worthy. None of us are worthy of the Lord Jesus. Can I say that tonight? But still, there should be a reckoning inside ourselves that I'm saved, I'm baptized, and my accounts are clean with my brother and sister in Christ, and I'm ready to take the Lord's Supper tonight. We should feel that way, or we should be, when we realize the Holy Spirit tells us there's something that we need to get right, we should take care of it tonight when we have an opportunity. And he says here, he finishes up, why is it so important? Why does the preacher, Pastor Carter, for years has done this? Why am I trying to go over it? Because we love you. He says that the people that will take it unworthily in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep doesn't mean that you're going to get a good night's sleep, folks. That word for sleep in the scripture for the Christian means that some have perished, some have died because they took the Lord's Supper unworthily. And some were weak and sickly because they took the Lord's Supper unworthily. Many times we don't realize, listen, I'm just trying to be heartfelt and explain to the church tonight that God, this is serious for God. That's why we don't do it every week, because it was something, this is supposed to be a special remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. This is supposed to be something that when we come together and we unite as a body and we decide to have the Lord's Supper, it should be a time of reckoning for a man and his soul, what's between him and a holy God. Tonight, as we prepare for this, I want to give you opportunity. I want to give you opportunity in just a moment. I'll close in prayer, but I just want the crowd, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes tonight. If there's something that the Lord spoke to your heart about tonight that you know you can get right tonight, maybe you can't take the Lord's Supper tonight, and that's okay. But maybe you're here and you know there's something that you can make right between you and God that God revealed to you. Why don't you bow your head and do that now as we give you opportunity? Dear God, tonight you know the hearts of our people, and Lord, I pray that you've revealed to your people and you've done a work in their hearts. Now, Lord, as we take time to take the Lord's Supper, Lord, let it be a time of remembrance. Let it be a serious time. Let us tarry for one another. Let us follow your word and to take this as God's people. And Lord, we look not only to the blood that you shed and the body that you gave on the cross of Calvary, but Lord, we look for your return as we take this tonight, looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask the men to come now that are going to help us serve out the Lord's Supper, and then they'll come and make their way down, and I'll get the mic set up down here. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 26, we find the Lord Jesus and his disciples in the upper room, and in verse 25, he had just had Judas, which betrayed him. He just left, and he's going to tell him to what he's doing, do quickly. But in verse 26, he begins to institute the Lord's Supper with his church. I think it's interesting, and I'm not sure that we always gather that, but this is truly the Lord's church. He dismisses Judas at this time, the part that was not regenerated in the upper room, and he dismisses him out of the room, and then he begins to have the Lord's Supper with the 11 that are left there with him, and he begins to talk to them about this, and he begins with the bread. Look at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we see here that he took bread and he blessed it. And what I'll ask again tonight, if you will just tarry one for another as the men come by and give out the bread, if you'll hold that until, again, when we partake together, we'll all partake together there at the end. But first, we'll ask the blessing upon the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus. Brother Vic, would you come and pray for us?
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you tonight for the opportunity, the privilege we have of being in a special service that we can commemorate your death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, we would ask your blessings now on the bread, for bless the bread that represents your broken and bruised body. And Lord, as we partake, may we be reminded that through that death, burial, and resurrection, that you fulfilled God's plan to receive the souls of lost mankind. And then, Lord, we would just pray tonight that you'd receive all the glory and all the honor for what's done this evening. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
He said, "Bless it and break it," and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Think of the unleavened body of the Lord Jesus, our sinful body, as we partake of this together now. And after they had taken the body, they, verse 27, and he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And as they gave thanks on that night, I asked Brother Smith to come and give thanks for what we're about to receive.
Dear Lord, thank you for giving your life that we may have eternal life. Lord, bless this juice in your remembrance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my body of the new this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." As we take this tonight and we think of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just realize that it is the blood of the Lord Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Amen. When they had taken the Lord's Supper, in verse 30 it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So that night, before the Lord Jesus went to the cross and was betrayed of Judas, after they had a time of remembrance, they sang a hymn together. Amen. Let's stand together now, and we'll ask Brother Bert to come and lead us in a hymn before we close out in prayer.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We'll sing the first and last verses together. Together now. Amazing grace.